Open your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Tonight we're going to start a new series. Is Making My Life Count, Lord. Is that your desire to make your life count for Jesus?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let me ask you this before we start. Is it a burden to you going to church?
Nope.
Or you loved being God's house?
Absolutely.
Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 1. That's a very popular passage of Scripture. Great passage of Scripture. Look what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It goes atheism right there. And that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness, and that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, and he should not see that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Lord, a Christian life is a life of faith. And Lord, to believe in salvation, to believe in Jesus for salvation, it is a faith process. It is a faith step that we do. Amen. And Lord, that's a problem of a lot of people in our world. Help us, Lord, to walk by faith, stand by faith, and be faithful to you always, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, today we're going to start a series of lessons that I have for you, and is Make My Life Count, Lord. And I hope that your desire is that you wanted to make your life count. Amen. I want to make my life to count for God, not for people, but for God, and God will be pleased with me. So we look at these verses right here, and we're going to talk about make my faith count today. God calls you and me to be faithful to him. That's why I said this is a church burden to you, like, and I go to church Sunday morning and night. Is that hard? No, it's not. If your mind is in the right places, if we make the right choices, it's not a hard thing. It's like a person that makes a choice to go sit in the bar from the morning until 10, 11 o'clock at night. And you say to him, aren't you bored being in the same place all those hours? Oh, no, that's what I like to be. All right, so that's what, same thing. So we make our choices where we want to go, where we want to be. I want to be in the house of God. I love God's people. Amen. I love God's word. I love to praise the Lord, and it is a blessing to me. Amen. So amen. I hope you feel the same. But I want my life to count for God, amen, not just when I'm in church, but outside of church. When I'm there in the workplace, when I'm in my home, when I'm there in the neighborhoods, to make my life count for God. So this is our series. So make my life meaningful, make my life purposeful. Lord, make my life count both now and for eternity. Everyone believes in something. There are many, many different beliefs in a world, but everyone believes in something. Everyone, like that guy yesterday, I'm an atheist. Well, he looked at me like I have two heads when I said that's a religion. Oh, it is. He didn't think that way, but it is. That's what you believe. So in a world with so many choices, where do you turn? They can't all be right. They can't. So how do you know what you believe? And you have faith enough to believe that. We talked about this morning, about truth. Whether you believe about God and the world is vitally important, because what you believe has the power to impact your life and to direct your way of life. If we believe in something, it impacts us. So how sad if you go all the way to the end of your life and found out that you had had based all your actions, all your decisions on something that wasn't true. And that's the problem of a lot of people. They were going to come to the end of life, and they're going to find out that they were in the wrong path. It's too late. There's no detours. There's no exits. There's no way out. They're done. You know, and that's why we say that the gospel, it's an emergency to give the gospel to people, tell the people the truth, is because when you're there, that's it. It's the end of it. And many people will come to the end of life and they realize they make a lifelong mistake. It's to reject Jesus as their personal Savior. But we Christians, we can live a life that counts for God. Amen. You know, it not counts for people, it counts for God. What you believe about God it's vitally important to you, like what I said. So you have to believe in something, or you had better make your faith count. So tonight I will look at 5 biblical principles that will help you make your faith count, not only for this world, but for eternity. I'm going to give you 5 points tonight that you can chew on it and make your faith count. So, number 1, faith means trust. Look what it says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yep. So, the first principle is that faith means trust. Amen. If there's no trust, there is no faith. It is the classic definition of faith we find here in Hebrews 11:1. The word, the substance, means translated the word that means be sure, be confident, have assurance or trust. Faith means trusting on what you can't really see. I have faith in God and I trust Him, but I don't see Him. I don't see God, but I trust that He is real. I believe that He is real. And people say, how can you believe such a thing? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that God is real and God is sustaining everything to this very day. Amen. Faith is real. For an example, the woman trusts her husband, doesn't follow him around everywhere and check all his phone records and read all his emails. Why? Because she does not see it all in order to believe. She trusts him. That's what faith means. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, for by faith we stand, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for by faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. So get this, in order to stand by faith, walk by faith, and live by faith, we must trust. It is a vital ingredient of the Christian life. I got to trust that God's word is true. I have to trust that God's word is real. I have to trust that God will take care of me. And I have faith enough to trust in Him.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So that's what it is. So get this. In order to I already said this. So get this. In order to stand by faith and walk by faith and live by faith, we must trust. So trust. We trust that the Lord will keep us standing. We trust that the Lord will guide every step that we take. We trust that the Lord will guide our lives. Folks, faith and trust go hand in hand. Otherwise, it's the same old. Listen to this. It is the same when we talk about faith in God. Having faith in God doesn't simply mean believing that He exists. A lot of people believe that God exists. But having faith in God means trusting Him. It means that you trust His character. You trust His promises. You trust His word. Faith involves knowledge. I can't read without my glasses. Faith involves knowledge and assent and truth. So faith involves more than just admitting that God exists. So knowledge is important because you have to know something before you can believe it. Assent is important because you must agree with that you know before you can believe it. But it is not real faith until you take that final step, which is trust. Let me give you an example. If I ask the children if they believe that that God exists, that is knowledge. If I ask them if they believe, I could catch them if they fall. That is assent right here. But if they didn't exercise real faith until they show their trust, they're actually falling back into my arms. You follow that? It's like sitting in the chair. I can look at that chair and I say, I can believe if I sit in that chair, that chair is going to hold me up. But it's not faith until I sit in that chair. I have to literally put myself in that chair in order to say, I believe now. No, you have to put it there. It's the same thing. So we trust. I trust that chair is going to hold me up. I have faith enough to do that. So I have faith in God, but in the same time, I trust him. Okay? Look what it says actually in Proverbs chapter. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. I want you to get this in a strong way. Look what it says there. We're going to say faith and trust goes hand in hand. Look what it says there in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. I'll wait for you to get there because I already have the verses in front of me. Look what it says there. Trust, right? Is the first word. Trust in the Lord with all what? Thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. He says, in all thy ways, in everything you do, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So, trust in the Lord. I have faith in God, but I trust God. Amen. I believe in his promise. I trust everything about God to be true.
That's right.
So, we see the first one about count my life, this make my faith count, is that faith means trust. Number two, faith is needed to please God. Faith is needed. Look what it says in verse 6 of our text. But without faith is impossible to please whom? Him. So for he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is. So our second principle is this. Faith is needed to please God. You cannot please God without faith. It's impossible. You can try. You can try to live a perfect life. You can try to do all things right. You can be in church every morning and on your knees every night. But if you do not have faith, you cannot possibly please God. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? The rest of the verse tells us that this way. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do you seek God? By faith.
Amen.
How do we seek God? By faith. When you go to the Lord and pray, what do? You exercising your
faith. That's right.
When you talk to him, you exercising your faith. So it is for us to come to the Lord, before the Lord, it is by faith. When you approach the throne of grace, you approach the throne of grace by faith. You believe that he's listened to your prayers by faith. Faith is a vital ingredient of the Christian life. So first, in order to please God, you must believe that he exists. That's the first sin. God is real. He exists. That's a big step in our world today because a lot of folks out there seem like they don't believe in God. It blows my mind. How could you not believe in God? How could you not believe that he's a creator? It doesn't blow your mind. It blows my mind. See, first we have to believe that God exists. Then that makes sense, doesn't it? It would be hard to please God if you didn't believe in him, that he even exists. But notice this is much more than just believing that it is a God. It's not enough to believe in a general existence of God. You need to believe that God himself exists. I am probably not going to have a good relationship with my wife if I don't believe that she exists. All right? I'm not going to have a good relationship with my children if I don't believe that they don't exist, you know? So I'm probably not going to have a good relationship with all of you if I don't believe you don't exist. That wouldn't be good. See, how can I have a good relationship with God if I don't believe that he exists? You follow what I'm saying here? So I'm probably not going to have a good relationship with you all if I don't believe that you exist. So it's not enough if I believe in a general sense that is such a thing as a wife, a child, or even you. No, I need to believe her, know her, love her, trust her. In the same way, you need to believe that God exists, himself exists. It's not enough simply to believe that there is a God. out there somewhere, you need to believe in Him, the one true God who has revealed Himself to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and in His words.
Amen.
We need to believe that. We must believe that. So, and not only must you believe that God exists, you must believe that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
That's right.
True. You need to believe that. Does God reward His children?
Yeah, absolutely.
He does it every day.
Amen.
His blessings are new every morning.
That's right.
And let me tell you, I can tell you by faith, I know that God exists. Nobody can take that away from me, but I tell you what, I sense His presence in my around me every day.
Praise
the Lord. Did you hear as that little voice calling you, talking to you? People say, you're going crazy. No, I'm not going crazy. I have common sense in my mind. Did you ever pray something? You're so strong, it's like you're hearing the voice of God in your mind going, don't do that, child. Ever been there? And you go like, no, okay, Lord, I'm not doing that. So, and not only must you believe that God exists, you must believe that He rewards those who you earnestly seek Him. Believe that God exists, that's knowledge. Believe that He rewards those who seek Him, that's trust. So faith means trust, and without trust it's impossible to please God. Actually, let me remind you that the Christian life is a life of what? Faith. A life that is to be lived by faith, stand by faith, and walk by faith. It means that this faith involves trust. So number one, we see as we look at this message about make my faith count, you have to believe that faith means trust. Faith is needed to please God. Thirdly, faith is needed for salvation.
Yep. Amen.
You agree with that?
We
have to, by faith, believe, and what Jesus did was enough.
That's right.
And His blood will cover my sin. I have to believe that. By faith, I have to believe that. Faith is needed for salvation. Without faith, you cannot get saved.
That's right.
It is an act of faith. It's an action of faith to believe in what God did is true. Folks, what we do celebrate in a couple of weeks, what are we going to celebrate? Exactly this action. We're going to have the Resurrection Sunday. Why are we doing that? Because we believe that Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen. God bless.
Because without that, we might as well pick up our stuff and go home.
That's right.
If Jesus is still in the grave, we're wasting our time.
That's right.
The Bible says that He rose from the dead. Even we, by faith, believe that.
Yep. That's right.
Because if we don't believe that, then our faith is as dead as it is. So our principle here is faith for salvation. Look what it says. Neither, that's Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And people say, oh, no, you don't understand. There's many ways to get to heaven. As long as you're sincere and good, it doesn't matter what you believe in.
No.
My old pastor used to say, hogwash. Oh goodness. We give him a hogwash thing and he never said the word anymore. But anyway, it is so silly. You know, we believe it doesn't matter what you do, believe what you want. And in the end, oh yeah, we all love God. God loves all, and we are all of His children. That's not true. That is not true. So the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other name, only Jesus. And you have to believe that by faith. You have to believe that. So the God of the Bible has revealed Himself to us through history of Israel in the Old Testament and through the coming of Jesus in the New Testament. And the testimony of Scripture is clear. If you want your faith to count, your faith must be in Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Must be in Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 is a powerful statement, so I want to make sure you understand what it means. When the Bible says, neither is there salvation any other, it literally means salvation is found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, only in Him and Him alone.
Amen.
People say, oh, I got saved by baptism. Doesn't count.
No.
Not going anywhere. I got saved because of my church. It doesn't count. Not going anywhere. Salvation is in Jesus and Jesus alone. It's no form of baptism. It's no a name in some church somewhere. It's nothing. It's not belong to. No, no, no. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. There's no way in the Bible you find if you go to East Bay Baptist Church, you will go to heaven. It's not there. But it's there. What it says is that you got to believe in Jesus and Jesus alone. So that means you will not find salvation in Islam. You will not find salvation in Hinduism. You will not find salvation in Buddhism. You will not find salvation in Jewish faith apart from Christ. You will not find salvation in pagan religions of the worship of nature. There are 21 actually major religions in the world with the many other small grouping of other religions and foot shoots of that. You will not find salvation in any of them except in Jesus.
Right.
People say, well, that's a closed-minded, that's a narrow way. That's God's way.
That's right.
Don't put up with me. I'm just a messenger. You know, I'm just a messenger. Don't put up with me. I didn't write the Bible. God did. Put up with him. Why don't you question him if you have a problem with that? Those of you on social media, if you have a problem with that, ask God about it. Talk to him. Argue with him. Okay? But now that, not to say that you will not find elements of truth in other religions. They are. I know some religion on which Bible verses are written in their religion, out of context, but they're there. So, but salvation is found only in the person of Jesus Christ, for there's no other name given among heaven that we must be saved. So, actually, 1 John 5 puts a very simply and clear. It says, actually, go to John 5. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. I'm sorry. 1 John. The Bible over and over records these things, and John right here records for us the same stuff that I've been talking about. Look what it says right here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record. What record? He's going to tell us the record. And the word, and that God has given us eternal life. That's the record. And this life is in is who? Son. He that had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. Is the record right there. God says that's what it is. Eternal life is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus, then you have life eternal. If you don't have Jesus, then you don't have life. You have life, but not in heaven. You will go to a place called hell. Acts 16:31 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you want to get to heaven when this life is over for you, then you need Jesus. You can't believe what you want, disagree as much as you want, argue as much as you want, but you won't win this at all. Unless you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not see heaven. You say, but I'm a religious person. All right, so be religious. I'm a good person, so be a good person. Whatever you want to be, go ahead and be. It doesn't mean you're going to heaven because of that.
That's right.
You won't go to heaven because of that. So people think that, you know, oh, I don't, what church has there for me? There's nothing in church for me there. It's more than what you think. This life is very brief. Oh, let me enjoy this life. Let me do this, this, and this because life is short. You know what the Bible says? I should eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow I shall die. The Bible says you're a fool. Well, the Bible has words. If we call people today, they will be highly offended with us. You know, but, you know, that's what the Bible says. God says, salvation is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Number four, faith alone saves. Faith alone saves. This is the one of the precious teaching of the Bible. Faith alone in Jesus saves. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to do the old Baptist way and, you know, just look through the scriptures. However you have it. Look what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So work is different from faith. When you work, you get a paycheck, right? Your paycheck is not a gift. Get this? All right, let me repeat this. Robert, your paycheck is not a gift. You work for it. Right? Your paycheck is not a gift. It's the difference between a paycheck and salvation. Salvation is a gift. You don't work for it. It's given from God to you.
Amen.
Your paycheck that you work all week is not a gift. You work for it. Okay, so You don't write to your boss and thank you note saying, "Dear boss, thank you so much for my paycheck this week. You are that was so thoughtful of you. Thank you for your kindness. Love you, me." You just don't do that. Who writes that?
We do the opposite.
Right, who writes that? I mean, you know, it's your paycheck. You work for it. You know, you sweat. You put it there. You don't write that note to your boss. That would be ridiculous. Your paycheck is not a gift. Your paycheck is your wages. You earn it. You work for it. Now, salvation is not something you earn by works. You do not want to know. You do want to know what you earn by works. You do want to know that your wages is your earning. It is what you earn. Now, salvation is that differently. Salvation, you didn't work for it. What did you do? Did you went to Calvary's cross? They nail you to the cross? Did you shed your blood there? No. What happens? Jesus did it for you. So he did it completely, and he completed the work of salvation. Now he's offering it to you. It's a gift from God. You should say, "Thank you, Lord."
That's right. Amen.
So salvation is not by works, but by faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 8. I think it's a foolish thing for people to leave this world without Jesus. I'm too busy for God. I'm too busy for church. I'm too busy. I don't have time for this stuff. Well, you know, you will have eternity to regret it when you find yourself in hell. But look what it says. Salvation not by works. Look what it says in Ephesians. Look what it says. For by grace are ye saved. It's the grace of God, folks. Through faith. Here goes the word. Through faith. It's not of yourselves. Look what it says. It is the gift of whom? God. Look what it says. Now by not of works, lest any man should boast. Why? The Bible is clear on that. So you don't say, "You know what? My salvation is better than yours, because I work harder than you. Look what I do." You see that? If a salvation was by works, we'd be boasting all the time. Look what I do. My salvation is better. I have a better place than you. My salvation is better than you. No. Salvation is God's gift. It's the grace of God.
Amen.
So I don't want to minimize the importance of work in your life and how you can make your work count, but your works have no place when it comes to your salvation. Does God want us to be lazy?
No. No.
No way. God wants us to be productive? Yes. For the good of mankind. We are productive. We have to be productive. We do things. You know, I cannot sit down and all day and idle all day long. I can't. I like to do things. I like to move around. Actually, when I sit down and do nothing, I fall asleep because I get so bored. You know, I just fall asleep. Maybe I need some sleep. I don't know. But I cannot work to get saved. It doesn't work, folks. It's not there. So this ties with the principle, number two, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't be the best person in the world and do the greatest religious works with anyone in history. Your works will not contribute one speck towards your salvation. You are saved by grace and grace alone, not by works. It is the gift of God. This is such an important principle. Faith alone saves us. Let me put it this way. People think, No. If you belong to this church or that church, you've been baptized, doesn't matter what you do. Guess what? You're not making it to heaven unless you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior.
Amen.
Here's our last point. Faith moves us to work. Faith moves us to work. This is our fifth and final principle. If you really want to make your faith count, then you must grasp this one. Faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone. Faith that saves is that same faith that causes us to be still, but to do something for God. And let me tell you, I don't call working for God work. I call ministry. I call serving the Lord.
Amen.
And then when people say, because when the word work comes about, people begin to criticize, begin to complain. No, I'm doing this out of my heart of gratitude for God.
Amen. That's right.
Unless a person really get that in his mind, So this saving faith that we receive as salvation is a faith that stirs us up to do great things for God. Let me put it this way. I was religious before I got saved. I was. All right? If somebody asked me, you're going to do this, what do we do today as a Christian? I would look at them and say, you must be kidding me. You want me to walk up and down the streets and put teeth on the people's doors? You must be kidding. In no way I would do it. No way. So what causes us this stuff to stir our hearts and do things that we never imagined we will do? What causes that? Salvation. The Spirit of God is in you. Now the Spirit of God is going to stir your heart. And now you understand. You look at the world from a different perspective now. And now what you're going to do? You find yourself doing things for the Lord. And you do it out of gratitude of heart. And you don't put a price tag on that. You don't put anything. You just do it. And you go home rejoicing. Isn't that what we do? Okay, I had a lady that called me, and she wanted an interview with me about, was that Meals on Wheels, or what was the other one? Not Meals on Wheels, the other one, Rhode Island Food Bank. They called me and asked me how we run our food pantry. So I told them, I asked them, like, we do this, and she goes, you guys deliver the food? I said, we do. How you do that? Here's my answer, by the grace of God.
Amen.
Well, I had no other answer. By the grace of God, how you got people to volunteer? To do it with joy. I mean, like, she was like, I don't know, I couldn't see their face, but I couldn't imagine what she was thinking. Like, how in the world, we can't even get people to work for us. Might as well drive to people's homes. Well, that's your problem. In our side of the story right here, we serve the Lord. And see how we do those things, because, you know, what happened to us. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter. Look, actually, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Oh, he loved the sound of Bibles being flipped. Look at this. Look what it says. For we are, is what? Workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto what? Good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. You see the verse? Isn't that great? So God does want us to work, to do good works, but those works come after we are saved, not before we are saved. So I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved.
Amen.
And I work because nobody told me to do it. I want to do it out of my own heart. So notice, Ephesians 2:10 does not say we are created to do good works, but we rather we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In other words, faith in Jesus comes first. When you put your faith in Christ for salvation, you become a new creature. The old things have passed away, of course, and everything become new. That's all happens by faith. But now that you are a new creation, God has worked for you to do this. For an example, I'm talking about tithing. Goodness. When I was in religion, you have to scream at me to get a dollar out of my hand. I'd be honest with you. You want me to give you what? $5? Oh, it's too much. I got to pay my bills. You want a dollar? I am not kidding with you. And he was like, you know, stingy. But you know, you're saved and you find yourself missions. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A building fund? Yeah, you know how that happened? What happened to you? So you became so South liberal that you just throw money away? No, something happened in your heart. That faith that came to your heart, it counts because it transformed you to a point that you see life differently than you ever seen before. That's the problem of our world. They don't see God the way we see it. So folks, when we have too many Christians in the sidelines, listen to this, and very few in the battlefront. We have many coaches on the stands and a few warriors on the field. Don't you think that it is time to put our faith into practice? God save us unto good works. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, and those good works are necessary outgrowing our faith. The more you, listen, trust me on this. The more you work for the Lord, the more things you do for Him, He's going to put something in your heart. You feel so, so fulfilled that you want to keep doing more.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
And even many Christians, they miss on that. Like, you know, listen, don't come tell me that you're busy, because I'm going to tell you who's busy here. All right? And you're like, oh, how can you do all these things? Is my answer. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. And why are you, why you do so joyfully? Because I love the Lord.
Exactly.
It says that simple. And by the more you do, the more you want to do.
Amen. That's right.
So, look what it says in James chapter 2. Go to James chapter 2, verse 17. Today is the day that you will find, we'll look at many verses in the Bible. James chapter 2, verse 17. Look what it says. Even so, faith. Are you there? You guys are there? I'll wait on my wife. She's all nervous right now. She's on the Old Testament. Chapter 2, verse 17, it says, even so, faith, if it not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You see what it says in here? It has nothing to do about losing salvation here, all right? It has to do with something. It says literally, if I say that I have faith in God, that I don't show any evidence of that faith by the things that I do, that faith is dead. You got that? It's got to be something in our hearts when you get saved that stirs our hearts, that causes us to do something. There's a man in my job that said he was a Christian. He asked me, literally, he gave me a testimony of Christianity. He's saved. And I'm like, I don't feel a little wild. I didn't really talk to him that much. He works in the opposite side of the football field, so I don't even see him. So, you know, that's what it is, the football field. So, you know, then I was like, well, I got to pay more attention to you if you're really telling me the truth. And guess what? He's a Christian. He comes to me, I pray for you today. He goes to the people, talks to people about Jesus. I'll tell you what, it's like, wow, it's wonderful. So he got to do something, even like, oh, he's a Christian. So James 2, 14 and 20, to 26 is something taken, we shouldn't take it out of context, but it says how faith is we don't work to be saved, we work because we are saved. So James is not saying that our works make us righteous before God, but that real faith, saving faith, is demonstrated by the good works that we do. So works are not the cause of salvation. Works is the evidence of our salvation. Faith in Jesus always results in good works. The person who claims to be a Christian but lives in a willful disobedience to Christ, I so to speak, has a false or dead faith, and I don't want to say he's not saved, but I question that salvation. Because, I have to go back to Lot and the type of person that Lot is, and you say, is that person saved? The Bible says he was a righteous man. So to go point blank and say that person not saved, we become judges, and we shouldn't be there. God is the judge, not us. You know, God's not, we shouldn't be judges over anyone. So Jesus put it this way. Look what it says. It's Matthew 7:20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. The people pick grapes from thorn bushes or from fig twistles in here, but just so every good tree bears good fruit, and rotten trees bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. But let me tell you, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down eventually. But let me tell you, some people claim to be Christians, but you know when they open their mouth, you know literally they're not. For an example, we had a lady here in our food pantry. The question was asked, are you a Christian? Oh, I believe in God. Boom, that literally, like, my eyes just look at her. Because I, you know, hear that, oh, I believe in God. That's a general sense of the thing.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Because usually when you ask that question to a Christian, that person right away, oh, yeah, I accept Jesus as my Savior. You can't understand the language. It don't matter what part of the world you go to, that person, you, Christians are identified by the when they open their mouth. When they open their mouth, you literally can tell that's a Christian right there. But when the person talks differently, immediately you go, oh, I knew right away that person needs the Savior. So that's what we do here. So let's go to point number six. Oh, it's at five points. I have six. So faith that continues on. That's our next point. I believe this is the last one. So if our great desire is for faith that counts, for our faith that counts for eternity, then this faith of ours must go on. It is a faith that doesn't give up, is a faith that doesn't waver, is a steady, growing faith. So if our faith is to count for eternity, then is a faith that must go on. How we do this? Number one, letter A, faith that stands. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter, I'm sorry. Look what it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then we go into Romans chapter 5, verse 2. It says, now for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So this is a faith. If we want our faith to count, we must stand by faith, even in the most, listen to this, difficult times of life, in pain, in sorrow, during discouragement, when life doesn't make sense to us, when our path is dreary before we stand by faith. When the storms of life are raging against us, we stand by faith, and that's the faith that counts. And let me tell you, it is in those days, and it is in those times that our faith is measured. What is the quantity and the quality of our faith? When life hurts, when pain doesn't go away, when suffering is there. That is in those days. In those days that you feel helpless. Ever been there? In those days that when you feel helpless, you don't know what to do. That's when faith comes about. That faith that stands. And Lord, I don't understand. Here's my problem. I'm going to trust you. That's faith. That's a faith that stands. Let it be. A faith that walks. Been talking with the kids in a youth group about faith, that walking in the journey of the Christian life. Walk by faith and all kinds of different walks, or the Christian walk. So faith that walks. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So if you want your faith to count for now and for all eternity, then you cannot stay still. Only if God says stay still. Otherwise, God created us to walk. Listen, that's why you have two legs. Isn't it? You know, it's amazing today. You go down the street like 2 seconds to go to the little store and you take the car. Oh, why don't you walk? So God gave us two legs to walk. You can't even hop with one leg if you have to. So we have to walk towards those who are lost, give them the gospel so God can change their life. We have to walk as shining lights in this world, showing the world that Jesus is alive. We have to step out of our comfort zone and walk by faith, not by sight. What I mean with that is that we walk with our mind focused on heaven. Amen. Or heavenly principles. Focus on the Lord, not on what we see this world doing. Remember that this world is not our home. We are citizens of heaven. Amen. Listen, folks, don't panic because of the things that go on in this world. People are panicked. They get all scared. All right, so what? I'll go to heaven. Don't talk like, you know, this world is the only thing we know about. We know more than that. It's a heavenly city waiting for us. Amen. So we hear the news. Oh, we hear this. Oh, we all afraid of what? What man is doing? We begin to think and act like they do. Folks, we know more than that. We're citizens of heaven. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Anything that happened in the news, people are petrified and with fear. Listen, folks, I do not live with fear. I told my wife the other day, I'm going to close my ears to these things. I'm going to trust my God and just live my little life that God gave me. You know, I cannot go on. Because here's the thing. Here's one bad news. We overcome. Here's another bad news. Here's another bad news. Before you know, you're worried and you feel of anxiety. And, oh, what's going to happen to our world? Oh, Jesus is coming again. That's what I know.
That's right.
So it's a faith that walks. Let's walk by faith. All the way to heaven. Let us see. Faith that lives. A faith that lives. Look what it says. Habakkuk chapter. Let's jump these verses. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, if you can find it. It's in the Old Testament, somewhere there. In the minor prophets. I'll give you some clues. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. If I say Habakkuk chapter 10, verse 4, you're going to look at me because no such does not exist. So you got there, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. All right, let me read it to you. Oh, goodness. I'm giving you a test thing today while searching the scriptures. Those of you who have the electronic Bibles, they're much easier. Well, look what it says. But the just, who's the just?
Us,
those of us who have the righteousness of Christ in us, it says, shall live, now would live, or maybe should live, it shall, like, shall live by what? By faith. The just shall live by faith. Those of us who are saved, we are commanded to live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Same verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, the just shall live by faith. Is that enough? What God is saying to you and me, you, my child, ought to live by faith in me. So we do see the same statement repeated in different books of the Bible that tells us that we ought to live our faith each and every day in the Lord Jesus. Faith in the Lord, always trusting Him to guide us along as we move each step. So these verses tell us that Christians ought to live by faith. Don't live in fear. Oh, what's going to happen to the world? Oh, look at this country. Oh, look what they're doing over there. Well, let them do it. They're going to do those things. That's what they want to do. I'm going to heaven. You can say, I don't believe what you guys are doing. Why are you saying that? I'm a citizen of heaven.
That's right.
I'm just representing my king down here. That's the truth. If we live with that mindset, listen, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm representing my king here. That's why everywhere you go, when you talk with a Christian, we recognize each other. We speak the same language. Folks, I go to Florida. I walk in a place, or I tell you what, we went to Florida. We went to the discount store. And all the gentlemen was witnessing to Joseph. He was witnessing. Joseph was looking at him, and Joseph came like, that man was witnessing to me. So great. Just making sure you're saved. You know, I don't know if he remembers that. But listen, everywhere we go, we understand each other. We speak heavenly language. We understand.
Right.
So faith that lives. So unfortunately, there are quite a few Christians who live by sight, not by faith. I hope this is not the case of anyone here tonight. So faith that trusts in the Lord to make it faithful each day, that's the type of faith that God wants us to have, faith in Him and Him alone. As we walk in this journey of life, well, we will experience setbacks. That's a given thing. Discouragement, pain, suffering, evil down to us, and many other things. That's part of the way this world is. But it doesn't mean that we need to stop living by faith because those things go on. Listen, folks, Christians do get sick. All right? Christians do get setbacks. Yes, Christians get evil down to them. It happens. We live in an evil, falling world. And let me tell you, we're not immune to those things. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't live by faith. Lord, it hurts. I don't have no more faith in You. Really? Lord, I'm discouraged. I have no faith in You. You know, and one thing that blows my mind is some Christians, when life is hard for them, the first thing they give up is on God. Why are you running away from the one who can help you? I don't get that. How many people put their faith in the bottles? That's what they do. When life hurts, they run to the bars. And they come out of there intoxicated for days. Because life is too painful, they can't hold the pain, and they just try to forget about it. Guess what? What happened the next day? Hangover. And after a while, it doesn't go away. It's still there to be resolved. Give it to the Lord. So faith is the ingredient that keeps the Christian going. Faith is what makes we look up to God. Faith is what causes us to witness to the lost. Faith is our hope for heaven. Let me tell you this way. When you give your tithes and offerings, it's not by faith. I tell you, I stopped trying to make sense to it. You, if you try to balance your checking account and try to, give this to the Lord, you go, that doesn't make sense. You know, I can't. I believe it happened to me. I was like, you know, how are you going to do this? I told it this way, folks. I've been saved for almost 25 years. Or going 25 years, something like that. I tell you what. I learned to forget about it and just give to the Lord, belongs to the Lord. And guess what? In the end of the month, everything's paid for. God provides. How he does? If I put my mat together, because I'm very mathematical oriented, believe me, and I just put my wife is shaking because she knows how I am, and I put my numbers in there, it never makes sense to me. In the end, you go scratch your head and it's like, how in the world are we going to give? He can't do this.
Yeah, he finally gave up balancing the checkbook.
There you go. That by faith, you know, give the check to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to give it to you. And the end of the month, we come on top. You know what? Food is on the table. The bills are paid. We have clothes. We have our cars. We got everything. You know what? God's good. And we give it to the Lord. Belongs to him.
Praise God.
And that's faith. So today's message is a challenge one, believe me. But is the heart of the Christian message is examine, look what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:15, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own. Know ye not that your own selves know that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate. That is a sobering statement that the Bible gives us. There's no Christianity without Jesus. There's no Christianity without faith. I pray that you will take these six, I said five in the beginning, six principles today, and use them to examine your own life and make your faith count.
Yep, right.
Make your faith count for God. This little life of mine. This little life of mine. You know I'm smiling because those guys in the sound room are having too much fun with those outlines. I see the conclusion doing like 55,000 circles around before it settles down. I'm going to see one of these days. That's all, folks. It's going to happen one of these days. I'm surprised it didn't happen yet. He said we don't have fun in God's house, huh? Let me encourage you tonight. Make your faith count. Make your faith count for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for faith. We need faith for salvation, but we need faith for everyday living. Lord, this world is not an easy world to live in. Problems, pains, discouragement, sickness. There's all kinds of things that hit us. But Lord, help us as your people to keep going on, standing by faith, living by faith, trusting you, Lord, in every aspect of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.